Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl. Today is 11 November, that is 22nd, 2012. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it and give thanksgiving because it is the traditional Thanksgiving holiday in the United States of America, in which the original Pilgrims came over and gathered in the harvest and had the Native Americans come in with them, and they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles to give God thanks for the abundance and the provision that He had for them. This is one of the most godly in origins holidays in the United States of America. Let us do, I'd like to just break open and read and discuss the book of Titus. I have none of my study helps with me here. My computer crashed. I have none of my Bible programs. I don't have access to any of my commentaries or books, or traditional thinkings on this. What I do have is a background in being trained in a church administration by a man, and ancient Greek by a man named Dr. Collard, who's no longer with us, who taught these subjects at the master's level in a Bible school. So I feel I have a pretty good, solid view, Lord willing, of just straight up taking the book for where it's at in an overall general view. Titus is a pastoral considered a pastoral epistle, along with 1 and 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promise before the world began. This is, Paul is giving his credentials here. He's a servant of God, an apostle, a sent one, one who lays foundations of the faith, according to the faith of God's elect, those whom God has chosen, that He's elected. The acknowledging and the definition of the faith of God's elect is the next phrase, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, which is after God, which reflects the character of God in truth. And where does this direct us to? The hope of eternal life, which God, who is not a liar, promised before the world began. Before the world began, God promised mankind eternal life, he states here. But hath in due time, verse 3, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He's further validating his credentials from God by saying, God manifests his words through preaching, and the Lord instructed him to do this, to preach, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Verse 4, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Titus was, obviously, if he was his son, he probably led him through to salvation and had discipled him, trained him up, raised him up, and then released him in the ministry that he was called to, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And thereby, with this statement, he's saying, this is the seal on the letter that he is giving Titus, grace, mercy, and peace. And he's coming in the name of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Here is established that Titus is in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Okay, there are things wanting in God's house here. And foreordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. here Titus has a commission. This is the commission that Paul gave him, and he's reminding him, I left you in Crete. You need to put the house in order. You need to, especially the places that are lacking, ordain elders. So it would seem, therefore, that Titus is a bishop. He's an overseer. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. This is the character qualifications. Blameless, the husband of one wife. I know from Dr. Collard's teachings over Timothy to me many years ago that in Timothy it says the husband of one wife meant not polygamous. One wife. Doesn't mean you hadn't been divorced and remarried or so on before you were saved. It means you do not have multiple wives. Having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Faithful means they are instructed in the faith and they are following it, and your house is in order. For a bishop, this is the qualifier. This is the qualifications, the sort of requirements for a bishop. Must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, and not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. All right, he's a steward of God. First of all, he's blameless. He's walking in holiness. He's a steward of God. He's not going after his own desires, self-willed. He's not an angry person. He's not given to wine. He doesn't strike. He's not violent. And not given to filthy lucre. Not given to pursuing money. And money that's not clean. Filthy. It's filthy lucre. Obtaining provision or money, finances, lucre, filthy lucre in dishonest ways, unclean ways. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. So he receives people, he loves good people, he's sober, he's not a drunkard. He is just, he does the right thing, holy and temperate. He has self-control. These are all fruits of the Spirit that Paul's describing here, played out. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Okay, the faithful word, the word that's been entrusted to him by Paul, that Paul taught him, which is sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, those that are saying other teachings or doctrines for their own benefit or agenda. There's a corrective implication, a sort of persuasion implied here in this text. I don't have any other text to cross-reference. This is the King James Version, so we will just take it literally as it is translated here. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers. Here's who these people are that he's exhorting Titus to exhort and convince. Many unruly and vain talkers, people who don't know what they're talking about, and deceivers, intentionally misleading deceivers, deception, especially they of the circumcision. Now, who would that be? That would be Jews, those who were circumcised when they were 8 days old. 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And that, in other words, filthy lucre's sake means that's their modus operandi. That's what they're operating out. They want to get money dishonestly. And they're subverting households and teaching things that are not according to, as it says here, according to the word that was taught to Titus through Paul, which is by sound doctrine. These men do not have sound doctrine of the faith. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own. These people had prophets, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beast, slow bellies. This witness is true. Woo! How would you like Paul to say that to you? You are a liar, an evil, carnal person ruled by your belly, your slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply. That's a sharp rebuke up above, that they may be sound in the faith. Bring sharp correction if they need it. So often today, people don't want to hear correction. Oh, you hurt my feelings. And they're emotionally slippy sloppy all over the place. When the truth, love always rejoices with the truth, and it will cut. The sword of God's word will cut into someone's heart and will circumcise their heart. Circumcision is a painful thing. To circumcise off the flesh of our hearts that is protective of our opinions or our situations. This is what they teach in the public schools now, situation ethics. That's why how we govern ourselves. But if we govern ourselves by the word and the principle of God, it will cut us and bring us into the discipline and the character training that we need. 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and Jewish commandments. He means the commandments of God, the commandments. They have the Talmudic or rabbinical laws, as in the rulings for ordaining homosexuals on the huppah. That is in contrary to God's word, which says you shall not be sexually immoral, and that this is an abomination, man with man, woman with woman, in God's eyes, according to God's commandments, not to the commandments of men, that turn from the truth. These men, these men of the circumcision, are not walking in the truth. They're not walking in the Torah. They're walking in their own subverted teachings. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. I think that's obvious. If you have a pure heart, you don't ordinarily perceive what people say as impure, unless they prove that proves out by their actions, by what they're doing. But if you have an impure heart, you're always looking to see impurity in other people's without finding out, judging something, without finding out the evidence of what's really going on. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. So God purifies the believer, the believing person, and their conscience. But even their mind and conscience is defiled if they are unbelievers. And in this context, as it's laid out here, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Very strong language to those of the circumcision. They say they know God, But by their actions and their teachings, of course, their actions will be brought about by their teachings, and it's defined up here. They're after filthy lucre. They're after money. They're manipulating through their teachings. This is not a good work. That's why a bishop must not be given to filthy lucre. But in works, they deny him being abominable and disobedient. Being disobedient to what? The given word, the commandments of God. Okay? Teaching their own commandments and unsound doctrine. And unto every good work, reprobate. You don't see the fruit of their faith of good works by the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, and the works that will follow that. They reprobate means they are without... Well, they need to go back on probation again. Our means again in probate is like they've already been on probation. We need to take them back there. And what happens on probation, you're under the scrutiny of those in authority to see, once you've been released from prison, whether your actions will line up with true turning away from your crimes. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou these things which becomes sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. This is the qualifier for an elder. Aged man, it says here, I would take it a little step up and say that it means an elder, someone who's older in the faith, the mature. This is a qualifier of his character becoming sound doctrine. This is what becomes sound doctrine. That the fruit of that in this man's character will be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Verse 3, let's look at the aged woman or the elder woman, mature, aged, like a wine, an aged wine, mature, full body, having all the fragrances of the fruit, a sound doctrine. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women, not necessarily by age, but younger in the faith, young, less mature, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. First up, to be sober, and don't be giddy and foolish and intoxicated. To love your husbands, to love their children. This is the more mature, godly woman is to instruct the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is a clear instruction that the women are to instruct the older, more mature women, the younger women, not the older men. Older men are not to instruct less mature women. There are some huge, serious problems when this takes place in the body of Christ, as we can see. And many men disqualify themselves by these very passages here. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And here's why. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay? So these women instruct the younger women, and that in sound doctrine, that they have the character. Aged men, elder men, pastors, bishops, are not to instruct the younger women in these issues, because the potential is that the word of God will be blasphemed because of indiscretions or problems that arise in that type of instructing. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Here Titus is the pattern. Mentoring is a patterning. To be the pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. The first thing in good works is sound doctrine, and then showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. This is his temperament. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. In other words, let your speech be sound and definite. And that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. He that is contrary to you, who says otherwise, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to save you, because your doctrine is right, and you show uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Here we deal with older men, elder, more mature men, mature in the faith. These are the qualifiers, then women, then young women, and then young men. You're to be sober-minded. And then servants or slaves. They're to be obedient to their own master. Obviously, that's the first issue, is disobedience when you're not in the faith. And to please them in all things, and not talking back to them, not answering again when they are instructed to do something. Verse 10, not purloining. I believe purloining is like pinching or stealing, but showing all good fidelity, in other words, being honest, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The purpose of these character attributes come out of sound doctrine, and it adorns the doctrine of God. It is the work. It is God's work in us showing forth fruit. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it appears in and through us. This is the adornment. An adornment's an appearance. What you put on, a garment. And this grace of God working in us through sound doctrine shows that salvation has come to us. And then it's demonstrated by our good works and our character, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present work. So ungodliness is, well, the works of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. Looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We look for the hope in us and the appearing of God in us and our salvation being made manifest in Jesus Christ, who gave himself, and we keep our eyes focused on him. And that way we have our priorities in order. We're looking for him. He's doing the work. And he is working on our character to demonstrate these character qualities of godliness, who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So the contrast to that is people who are just self-interested and worldly and lustful and carnal and could care less about doing anything good. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Okay, this is Paul's charge to Titus. You talk about these things. You exhort those who are under your care, your flock, and you rebuke them with your authority. And let no man despise thee because you rebuke them. Let them receive the correction and submit to it in all humility. That we have godliness be worked out in our lives for his, what? That we might adorn the doctrines of God, that we may walk our talk in all things. That by our character and the fruit of that, humility and repentance, receiving correction, understanding that the older men, this is what their character looks like. The older women are to instruct the younger women. The young men are to be sober, and the servants are to have changed lives. And this then shows the grace of God that brings salvation to and in and through us. Chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. Paul is telling Titus that we are to be subject to the governing rulers, and to obey them, to be subject to them, to obey them, to be ready for good works. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We are not to speak evil of men. We are to not to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This implies that when you speak evil of someone, there's a temperament issue that comes in. For we ourselves, here we are, also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Out of this issue of an evil heart, and this is back to the first chapter, till who's pure in heart, all things are pure, and who's defiled, all things are defiled. So, therefore, if we were foolish and disobedient and our hearts were unbelieving and defiled and unpure, then out of that comes evil speaking. Hateful, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. We were once that way, but God's kindness and love towards us appeared through God our Savior, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This work of God that turned us from our former lives, which we once were, how we once behaved, now it's according to His mercy He saved us and washed us and regenerated us by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, that is the grace of Jesus, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As it says in the first chapter, that God does not lie. He has promised us eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I want to show you right here that good works are your character in response to your former life. Your works were once this way, evil, hateful, after lust and pleasure and worldliness and lying and pilfering and envying and disobedient, all these things. These were the works. But now you should be godly and pure, uncorrupt, sincere, grave, sound speech, all these things, okay, honest, come out of. That is the work out of sound doctrine, that God's mercy is working in us. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But, verse 9, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. They're a waste of your time, a waste of your breath. Don't go there. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject him, knowing that he that is such as subverteth and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, Ortychius, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Xenius the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Titus was written to Titus by Paul, ordained the first bishop of the Church of the Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. This is a footnote. Here we have the epistle of Paul to Titus. God bless you.